Stay tuned, my dad and the generations is next.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606. Are you looking for the ideal Western family vacation? You need to check out Latigo Ranches at latigotrails.com. Enjoy a 100-mile panoramic view of the Continental Divide, 3 miles from the nearest neighbor. Latigo Ranch is secluded, scenic, and intimate, the perfect size to create a sense of family coming home. Enjoy a vacation of mountains, fishing, trails, horses, and great country cooking. Whether it's a family reunion or a once-in-a-lifetime Western vacation for your family, Latigo Ranches is where you want to be. LatigoTrails.com or call 1-800-227-9655. Hello, friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a pastor, executive director of Christian Home Educators, but I'm on the air because I'm a father of five. And I read somewhere that half the families in America break up, divorce in half the cases. I've got five reasons to be concerned, five reasons to address these issues on the air with you. What kind of world are we raising our children in? Are we raising our families to fail? I mean, we swim in a world of failure. So if you continue to use the methods, the ideas the world is giving you, you will be programming your family to failure. Now, if you've been following a series of articles in the Colorado Major newspapers this last week, you're going to know that domestic abuse is way up, 9% over the last 5 years in the state of Colorado. Apparently, there are men who are leading in their homes by busting their wives' jaws, and women submitting by screaming and scratching and all the rest. Now, it's amazing to me, as you read the newspapers, how frustrating and depressing it can be, and I'll tell you why. It's because the newspapers don't have a clue as to how to solve these problems. They just tell you about the problems. They tell you about men beating their wives, but they don't have any answers. Any answers? The problem is the newspapers deny sin. They just report things happening. But they deny sin. They deny the reality of the human heart, which is filled with sin. So if you deny sin and you deny guilt, then of course you're going to deny Christ, which they do. And they say the problem is therefore the environment. But the problem is not the environment. The problem is in the heart of men and women. So domestic abuse is up 9% in the state of Colorado. This is a total meltdown of God's way of living life. And when all else fails, these families break each other or just break up. This is conflict in the home. This is the real issue. Conflict in the home and how we deal with it. The Bible tells us how to deal with conflicts in the home. The newspapers don't. But the Bible does. And there are seeds of conflict. One of these seeds is bitterness. What is bitterness? Well, let's talk about bitterness today on this program. Bitterness is the inability to forgive others. It's just bitterness is the inability to just let go. Think about somebody holding a note in their hand that says, I have the right to hurt you for hurting me. That's the note. They're holding that in their hand, and they refuse to let that note go. They are holding something against others. Bitterness is incredibly difficult to shake off. It's like a red-hot sauce on your tongue. It just sticks there. It stays there. It has a sticking quality, like double back tape. You know, it just keeps going from one finger to the next, to the next, to the next. It winds up on your shoe, and then it winds up on your pants and all the rest. That's what bitterness is, very sticky. And the longer it's on you, the harder it is to get off of you. It's sort of like fuzzy socks walking through a field of burrs. Think about that. You know, you walk through a field of burrs with fuzzy socks on, and And before you know it, you picked up every single one of those burrs in that field. And it's just, that's the way it works. Well, that's the way a bitter heart is. It runs around and picks up on any little disagreement, any little problem it has with somebody else, any little sin, and it just picks it up. Just sucks it right up, and those little disagreements burrow deep into the heart. And they form an irritation and eventually drives wedges in relationships. That's what bitterness is. Bitterness remembers everything. It lets the sins and offenses of others color your opinion about them. Bitterness is unable to overlook minor offenses. Just can't overlook them. Every little tiny problem becomes a big issue. Bitterness inclines us to harsh and uncharitable opinions of others. I say it creates a porcupine syndrome. You know, bitter people are pretty easy to identify. Now, it's true, not everybody's bitter all the time, but you identify somebody who's bitter. They just form a distance. You know, and then what it communicates in body language is, I'm against you, and you're against me. It's sort of like a porcupine. Then the porcupine wonders, why don't you hug me? Well, you're not being hugged because you're bitter. And so the bitterness just increases. Ladies and gentlemen, bitterness is so incredibly destructive. It makes for miserable people, miserable homes, and it increases conflicts in the home. Jesus said this about bitterness. If you can't forgive others, then I won't forgive you. You know, forgiveness is the warp and the woof of the Christian life. And bitterness says, you know, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to forgive others. I'm just not going to let go of my right to hurt you for hurting me. That's what bitterness says. But today we're going to talk about how to be free from bitterness. We're going to interview Jim Wilson, the author of that little book, How to Be Free from Bitterness. Next on Generations. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, McKinney, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303. Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school students. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, 3 cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at KevinSwanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at KevinSwanson.com or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852. Hi, folks. We're back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and boy, there is nothing that will destroy a home like bitterness. Nothing will destroy relationships or joy in your life like bitterness. And that's why we're talking about it today. Conflict in the home. And one of the roots of conflict in the home is this issue of bitterness. And, you know, I don't think there's a person alive that doesn't struggle with bitterness to some extent at some point in their life. It's just something that happens to all of us. It's because of the heart that we have. Now, we're talking to Pastor Jim Wilson today on the line. He's written a neat little book called How to Be Free from Bitterness. And Jim's on the line with us today. Pastor Jim, thanks for joining us on Generations.
Good to be here.
Yes, you've written this book, How to Be Free from Bitterness. Why did you write the book?
Well, because I just saw bitterness in my own life and in the life of many other people, and realized that I'd figured out how to get rid of it in my life, and I began to share it.
And you talk about freedom from bitterness, and Jim, it's funny. Bitterness is sort of like a cage. It's like being in slavery, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In one sense, it's no different from any other sin that you are enslaved to. The major difference is we might confess the other sins, and we don't confess bitterness. So bitterness, we always think, is the other person's fault. If I tell a lie, I may not confess it, but I know what I have to do. But if you tell a lie about me and spread it all over town, then I'm bitter. And I can't confess my bitterness because you're the person who lied.
And the assumption is that the other person is the sinner and not me.
That's right. And when the other person gets squared away, I'll be squared away. But the other person may never get squared away.
Okay.
So I'm bitter the rest of my life because somebody else insists on sinning.
Right. Well, let's get a definition out on the table here for bitterness. How would you define bitterness?
I define bitterness as it starts out with being hurt.
Mm.
Not physically hurt, but hurt in some way. When a person is hurt, he is concentrating on himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes from hurt to resentment. And when it goes from hurt to resentment, I'm now thinking about the other person who did this to me. Bitterness is just prolonged resentment. Bitterness is resentment that's gone rancid, rotten. We hang on to. It's something that's prolonged, where hurt may not be, resentment may not be, but bitterness, by definition, is resentment that we're holding on to.
Now, Jim, you've been a pastor for a number of years. How can you tell when somebody is bitter? Can you look at somebody and say, well, that person looks like he's bitter?
Well, you can see it in his eyes. You can hear it when he laughs. You can see it when he smiles. Let's suppose there's a 3-year-old little boy. Can you tell? He has no lines in his face at all. But can you tell this little boy when he's mad?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell when he's sad?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How about glad?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Bad. Okay.
Yes, sir,
in other words, what's on the inside shows on the outside, even if I can't describe it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Bitterness is an inside thing, like joy is an inside thing. And when a person's joyful on the inside, it shows on the outside. And there's a difference between joy that's spontaneous and fake joy. And it doesn't take long for people to see the difference.
And bitterness afflicts people in different ways, of course. Some people have a long-standing issue with bitterness, but you're convinced that that God's Word is applicable to everybody, and anybody can be free from bitterness.
That's right. My wife and I had a class on marriage 20-some years ago, and a medical doctor saw it in the newspaper and sent one of his clients to the class on the first night of the class.
Mm.
Well, when this woman came in, she was just years of bitterness in her face. And I happened to be on that subject that night, and the next, I made an appointment with her. She wanted to see me. So the next day I saw her. I was expecting her. I'd met her the night before, and I did not recognize her when she came in.
Wow.
She'd gotten rid of 40 years of bitterness in one night.
Incredible. That's the grace of God.
Okay, so the real thing is we keep on focusing on the other person. But look what he said. But look what he did. And sometimes this but is not even real. For instance, let's suppose a husband comes into the kitchen and says something to his wife, and she is hurt by what he says, and he wanders off, and meantime she holds a private grand jury and finds out he's indicted and convicted and hanged by the neck until dead for this, not only what he said, but the motive with which he said it.
And he has no idea what happened.
No clue.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back in later and he finds out he's in big trouble. He didn't have this awful motive. He didn't have any motive. He's just dumb. In the meantime, the wife has committed murder to him because he's dumb, not because he's malicious.
Right.
And bitterness is a great evil. You see it in Ephesians 5, where it says, get rid of all bitterness. It doesn't say gradually. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, with every form of malice. Well, bitterness is connected with these other kinds of things that we don't call righteous.
And it's insidious. It just corrupts in the human heart.
That's right.
How do we deal with that?
Well, the first thing we do is, bitterness also is very seldom against people in Afghanistan or Iraq or California or someplace we don't live. It's almost always somebody that's close to us. father, mother, husband, wife, children, brother, sister, your immediate boss, your immediate inferior, your immediate peer pressure. Bitterness is not based upon the magnitude of the other person's sin. It's based on the proximity of the other person to me.
Okay, now let's talk about how to get rid of bitterness. This is obviously the thesis of the book. So how do we deal with bitterness?
We have to recognize, first, the exceeding sinfulness of bitterness. And we just read it from the scriptures. Like it's going to go to anger, rancor, wrath. It also says this stuff does not come from above in James 3, 14.
Yeah.
It's devilish of the... I just read it right here. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. Is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Where you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. For it's the first thing you recognize, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. It's more sinful than the person you're bitter against.
Right.
It's much more worse.
So recognize the sinfulness of it.
And then recognize it's your sin only.
Okay, right. So take responsibility.
If somebody laid $500 on the table and I pick up and stick it in my pocket and say, finders keepers, I've just justified stealing. Well, the $500 on the table was a temptation for me to steal, but it was not the cause of me stealing. If somebody says something hurtful to me, whether it's malicious or innocent, that's a temptation. That doesn't mean I have to respond. If I do respond, I'm the responder. I'm the sinner. So I have to recognize not only how awful the sin is, but I'm the only one guilty. And when I can confess myself as the only one guilty, it disappears. But as long as I've got some buts attached to it, God doesn't forgive me, and I keep it.
Because what you're doing when you're saying, but this person is really responsible for my bitterness, then you really haven't rid yourself of bitterness.
How evil he is, and second, I'm the only one responsible. And it might take me a while to get to there, but once I do, the bitterness is gone.
So now you have this big old sin in front of you. You take that sin, you take responsibility for it entirely, and you bring that sin to God, and you say, God, forgive me of this thing. Okay, now one last question. What can a husband do if his wife is struggling with bitterness or a child in the family? How can he minister to them?
One time, you don't give them the book on how to be free from bitterness. That makes them more bitter. my husband thinks I'm bitter.
Uh-huh.
However, pray and be kind and don't do the things. One of the reasons a husband can't do a whole lot about it is he may be the recipient of it because the things he's done or said or imagined done and said. So he's got to clean up his act completely and start showing the godliness to her so she can see this wonderful husband couldn't have possibly been the guilty one in this attitude I have.
Okay, so he takes responsibility for himself. And
he takes responsibility for himself and pray that she will open up. Now, one time, my wife, many years ago, had a critical spirit. She didn't call it a critical spirit. She called it the gift of discernment. But anyhow, now I couldn't correct her because I was the recipient of some of this. But the Lord got to her. And when the Lord got to her, she brought the whole family in the home, all the married children, and confessed her critical spirit. And gone.
Praise God.
But you call it something else. She called it the gift of discernment.
Okay, Jim Wilson, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to get a hold of this book. You can call our toll-free line, 877-842-CHECK, if you'd like a copy of this, How to Be Free from Bitterness. Just a short little book, but very helpful in dealing with the sin of bitterness in our lives and our families. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations. And we'll be back in just a moment. Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student.
Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at KevinSwanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at KevinSwanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a five-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp at reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp at reformationchurch.com.
It's the core of the war, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the nub of where the conflicts occur, and that is in the hearts of men. That's why we address these things on this program. We want to build the family in America. We are seeing it crumbling around us, but we build it by something like forgiveness. You know, it's interesting. The world denies the reality of sin. You're not going to see that word in the newspaper, search as you may. And the world denies sin, and yet bitterness is a proof of the reality of sin. But bitterness is focusing on the sins of others. That's what bitterness is. When we focus on our own sins, that's called guilt. But when we focus on the sins of others, it's called bitterness. And yet the world, while denying the reality of sin, these guys are dealing with guilt and bitterness in their hearts through atonement methods, sadism, masochism, so forth. So they're dealing with sin, and yet they're denying it at the same time. It's incredible. But if you're facing sin, guilt, bitterness in your life, what do? Well, forgiveness is letting go. And if you have trouble letting go with the past, I'm going to encourage you today to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Just go to the cross and let go of your sins. Let go of your sins. And while you're at it, let go of everybody else's sins, too. Let go of your guilt and your bitterness at the cross of Christ. And that's the beauty of the Christian message. As we conclude today, I want to recommend a book, The Peacemaker, by Ken Sandy. This is a biblical guide to resolving personal conflicts in your home. And all of our homes are affected by this sort of thing. This book has changed my life. I can recommend The Young Peacemaker for kids as well. That book, it's got comics in it. It's a little easier for some of us who don't like to read as much. It gives us comics. These excellent resources are available by going to checkbooks.com on the web, checkbooks.com, or call 877-842-CHECK, 877-842-CHECK. And you can interact with me from this program by emailing kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. This is Kevin Swanson, and I'm inviting you back again next time as we establish a vision for the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George T. Chris Insurance for all my insurance. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service, George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Secrets Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Driver education and training gets an F, says the Good Housekeeping magazine in March 2003. Insurance Institute for Highway Safety reports driver education and training could increase the chances of a fatal crash with your teenager. Why is this? What's going wrong here? Why are parents not paying attention to these vital statistics? The problem is not within the teenager, but within the training process. Separate the classroom from the practical, you are setting yourself and your teenager up for failure. University studies have proven that the National Driver Training Institute program works and will drastically reduce the chance of teenage crashes and fatalities. National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is a Colorado-approved, graduated driver licensing program that will work for you and your family. Call the National Drivers Training Institute and give your new teen drivers education and the training they deserve. Program costs start at $155, and it's recognized by every insurance company in Colorado. Call 266-4700 in the Springs. Outside the Springs, call 1-800-942-2050. Or go online, nationaldrivertraining.com.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.